As he finished speaking, I handed him the bright wine. 3 times I poured and gave it to him, and 3 times, foolishly, he drained it. When the wine had fuddled his wits, I tried him with subtle words. "Cyclops, you asked my name, and I will tell it. Give me afterwards a guest gift, as you promised. My name is Nobody. Nobody, my father, mother, and friends call me." Those were my words, and this his cruel answer. "Then my gift is this. I will eat Nobody last of all his company, and all the others before him." As he spoke, he reeled and toppled over onto his back, his thick neck twisted to one side, and all-conquering sleep overpowered him. In his drunken slumber, he vomited wine and pieces of human flesh. Then I thrust the stake into the depth of the ashes to heat it, and inspired by men with encouraging words, so none would hang back from fear. When the olive wood stake was glowing hot, and ready to catch fire despite its greenness, I drew it from the coals, and then my men stood around me, and a god breathed courage into us. They held the sharpened olive wood stake, and thrust it into his eye, while I threw my weight on the end, and twisted it around and around, as a man bores the timbers of a ship with a drill. Others twirl lower with the strap held at both ends, and so keep the drill continuously moving. We took the red-hot stake and twisted it round and round like that in his eye, and the blood poured out despite the heat. His lids and brows were scorched by flame from the burning eyeball, and its roots crackled with fire. As a great axe or adze causes a vast hissing when the smith dips in cool water to temper it, strengthening the iron, so his eye hissed against the olive wood stake. Then he screamed terribly, and the rock echoed. Seized by terror, we shrank back, and as he wrenched the stake, wet with blood, from his eye, he flung it away in a frenzy, and called to the Cyclops, his neighbors who lived in caves with windy heights. They heard his cry and crowded in from every side. They stood by the cave mouth and asked what was wrong. "Polyphemus, what terrible pain is this that causes you to call through the deathless night and wake us? Is it a mortal stealing your flocks or trying to kill you by violence or treachery?" Out of the cave came mighty Polyphemus's voice. "Nobody, my friends, is trying to kill me by violence or treachery." To this they replied with winged words. "If you are alone, and nobody does you violence, it's an inescapable sickness that comes from Zeus. Pray to the Lord Poseidon, our father." Off they went, while I laughed at myself how the name and clever scheme had deceived them. Meanwhile, the Cyclops, groaning and in pain, groped around and labored to lift the stone from the door. Then he sat in the entrance, arms outstretched, to catch anyone stealing past among his sheep. This was how foolish he must have thought I was. I considered the best way of escaping and saving myself and my men from death. I dreamed up all sorts of tricks and schemes, as a man will in a life-or-death matter. It was an evil situation. This was the plan that seemed best. The rams were fat with thick fleeces, fine large beasts with deep black wool. Those I silently tied together in threes, with twists of willow on which the lawless monster Polyphemus slept. The middle one was to carry one of my men, while the other two on either side to protect him. So there was a man to every 3 sheep. As for me, I took the pick of the flock, and curled below his shaggy belly, gripped his back, and lay there face upwards, patiently gripping his fine fleece in my tight hands. Then, sighing, we waited for the light. As soon as rosy-fingered dawn appeared, the males rushed out to graze, while the unmilked females, udders bursting, bleated in the pens. Their master, tormented by agonies of pain, felt the backs of the sheep as they passed him, but foolishly failed to see my men tied under the ram's bellies. My ram went last, burdened by the weight of his fleece, and me and my teeming thoughts. And as he felt his back, mighty Polyphemus spoke to him. My fine ram, why leave the cave like this last of the flock? You have never lagged before, always the first to step out proudly and graze in the tender grass shoots, always first to reach the flowing river, the first to show your wish to return at the evening of the fold. Today you are last of all. You must surely be grieving over your master's eye, blinded by an evil man and his wicked friends, when my wits were fuddled with wine. Nobody, I say, has not yet escaped death. If you only had senses like me, and the power of speech to tell me where he hides himself from my anger, then I'd strike him down. His brains would be sprinkled all over the floor of this cave, and my heart would be eased of the pain that nothing, nobody, has brought me. With this he drove the ram away from him out of doors, and I loosed myself when the ram was a little way from the cave, then untied my men. Swiftly, keeping an eye behind us, we shepherded those long-limbed sheep, rich and fat, down to the ship. And a welcome sight indeed to our dear friends were we, escapees from death, though they had wept and sighed for the others we lost. I would not let them weep, though, but stopped them all with a nod and a frown. I told them to haul the host of fine-fleeced sheep on board and put to sea. They boarded swiftly and took their place on the benches, and then, sitting in their rows, struck the gray water with their oars. When we were almost out of earshot, I shouted to the Cyclops, mocking him. It seems he was not such a weakling then, Cyclops, that man whose friends you meant to tear apart and eat in your echoing cave. Stubborn brute, not shrinking from murdering your guests in your own house. Your evil deeds were bound for sure to fall down on your head. Zeus and the other gods have had their revenge on you.